The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
I'm at work too, just like Bane. Ready? Red, four. Oh, no.
That was a two.
That was a two.
Okay.
Red, four. Red, four.
That was my second.
Oh, yeah, we're back, baby. That's right. It's Tuesday after Memorial Day. Chris Sims, Ahmed Vareed is in the fold. Ahmed Vareed and his horrible snap count. We're still growing. It's getting better and better. That was really great, though, because your voice cracked.
Yeah.
Like you're in puberty.
I hadn't heard that back yet.
Yeah, so that was the first time I heard it back either.
But me going red four. Wait, no. Have you ever had a quarterback do that? Like, all right, everyone, there you go. Get up on the line here now. Oh, red four. Oh, no, stop, everyone.
Well, you might have to do that every now and then. You got to do that, and you got to do it the right way, okay? Just why we're in on this. And just for, like, full transparency here, we have new mics today if you're watching. Ahmed Vareed is extremely excited. He has been touching and grabbing these things, putting his mouth all over it. I mean, he's loving it so
far. Here's the thing. Hold on. Quiet. I feel like...
What do you feel like?
These mics pick up the bass in my voice.
Hey, listen, a little bit better.
It's
official that you've surpassed me in the hierarchy of this building.
I know that.
Because I asked for these fucking mics for 3 years and got unplugged ones that didn't work. You come in last Wednesday and are like, you know, we should have mics. They sound better. I think they might look better, too. I come in here today after the show. I'm in the office.
Yeah.
I see them over here hooking them up. I'm like, look at this guy. He says it one time, and they do what he says.
Even I was surprised. I was very surprised by that.
I'm glad you got it done, though.
Craig and Tom hooked us up, Kristen as well. Yeah, I think they sound better, and that's the main point of a podcast, right?
It is.
They have to have – so, you know, tweet us. Do we sound – is my voice –
do we sound – You sound sexier. Silkier and smoother.
Do I sound silkier good. And smoother?
Right. And it is good to have the crutch of having the mic.
Hold
it's
that.
Like nice to touch something, hold something, whatever. I don't want to touch or hold you.
They're going to take them away. This is the only episode. Enjoy it. They're going to be gone next
You're
episode.
The only podcast that could actually like have mics taken away because of bad analogies or whatever.
We'll go with the poorer quality sound because it's just too weird with you guys with microphones.
The snap count thing, though, just to hit on that real quick, right?
Yes.
You're red four. Oh, hold on. Wait. No, you wouldn't do it like that.
You would not.
But you'd have to have like a certain way. That is taught, too, to like a certain way to ease into it. So, like, you don't get that right tackle who's, like, all jumpy, right? Because you always have a right guard or a right tackle.
It's ready to
Whoa,
go.
Whoa, you just sounded loud or that wasn't the normal rhythm or whatever. And you're like, yeah, but I wasn't even fucking close to set hut. Why would you jump then, right?
Yeah.
Even though you went, like, red four and they know there's another red four and something else coming, they might jump because so you – It was like easy. Because what if you're into color number set hut, right?
Yep.
So you do color number, and now you're starting that next color number, and all of a sudden Ray Lewis and Ed Reed are showing blitz, right?
Oh, God.
And you're like, oh God, right. You're exactly what you're saying. You're like, oh God, they want to tackle me, and I gotta get us in the right play. So that's where you have to go, okay, red 85, red. Easy. You have to go kind of walk over easy. So then they know we're restarting.
Right.
I'm about to tell you a new play. Calm down. And here we go. So that's another little tutelage that we're going to get to you with.
So instead of red four. No, hold on. Stop. Sorry.
No.
Go.
No.
Go red four. easy.
Yeah, right. Easy.
Okay.
Real smooth that way. Now, did I have other guys on the team after I said, you know, blue 85 and then turn around and go, wait, what's the play? Or wait, what's the check? Or anything like that.
Do you want to expose anyone? Do you want to expose anyone?
You know, I remember having a conversation with my center, John Wade, playing the Ravens, oddly enough. This is always the one that jumps out to me.
Uh-huh.
But we have two plays called in the huddle because we're Gruden, and that's the way we do things, right? So first play is getting called, you know, where I'm underneath the center, blue 85, you know, he's making the check to what we're doing the first call. And then I go, wait, easy. Hey, check. I got to go to the other play. You know, and he's so deep into the first play, he's there and he's sweating all over my fucking ball because he's swamp ass and that's what he's doing, mm-hmm. right? And we're playing Ray Lewis and he's got Haloti and Nada over him. So he's like, he's nervous. And I can remember him turning around going, wait, what's the check? You know, and I go, I believe it was a pass. I believe it was 200 jet smoke, right?
Okay.
And we had the perfect look for it.
Oh.
And Ray Lewis knew that meant it was a pass. And he rechecked out of their defense and got them into something there. Right, right. And we ended up having to settle for a field goal in that drive. And I remember thinking, like, man, that's the NFL. That's how close it is. Like, if he didn't ask me that, Ray's not going to know we're going to throw the ball right there. I think it was like a third and short or something like that. And we're going to have a great look. Maybe we score a touchdown. But now we leave 4 points off the board. And, you know, that's life in football.
Did you make that all clear to him after the play or after the game, your center?
No, I think I did say something to him like later the next week, like, man, we can't fucking do that again. Not with people like Ray Lewis listening who might know like some of the language and know how to piece it together that way.
We'll get him on the pod. We'll tell him that your career would have been completely different had it not been for that
man,
one play.
John Wade. It's my guy right there.
Okay, so we told Kristen before the pod, we're on a little tighter schedule here.
Yeah.
We said we'll move things along. And we're like 10 minutes in. We've talked nothing about what we want to talk about.
That's what
so
we do.
Far.
That's what we do.
So what we will have on this podcast is we got five more of your top 40 countdown. We're going from 30 all the way to 26.
Yep.
I like this five. This is a good five.
Okay.
Homie's going to have a couple questions about the previous five and or actually all the way
about
back to
everything.
40.
Yep,
everything.
The previous 10.
We have another eight in the quarterback coach Royal Rumble countdown. Who could beat up
Here
whom?
Here we go.
Between coaches and quarterbacks.
I got to go back over your list last week. There was one that I can't remember that jumped out to me to where I wanted to be. I think you're wrong on that one, but I know we'll see it.
Pete says we will show it.
Yeah.
And time permitting, which we have to get to, we will rate your snap count. We got more submissions.
Good.
Trying to beat my red four.
Oh, somebody.
See if they can do it.
Easy.
Let's get right into it, though. The top 40 countdown has made its way to 30. And at 30, for you, Chris, is...
Mac Jones, that's
Whoa.
Right, the New England Patriots. Yes, for me, he is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in football. And yes, I have him a spot ahead of Jared Goff. I understand that. Yes, but I look at Mac Jones, as you heard me say throughout the whole draft. He's the most NFL pro-ready quarterback to come out in the draft. He is. And one, I think he's tailor-made to play quarterback in the NFL anyways, for his style and everything he does about his physical attributes, his ability to process and read coverages and do all of those things. You know, that's where I look at Mac Jones. Plus, I don't look at him as a normal rookie, you know, to where, I don't think he's as talented as Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson, right, who we're going to see later on in these rankings.
Yep.
But I do think as far as NFL ready is concerned, and a lot, I think he is the most ready. And then when you talk about some of those attributes that people want to hate on all the time because he doesn't look that cool in the uniform, but they don't want to really look at the results for some reason. I mean, whether it's, you know, out of the rookie class, you could say most accurate passer. I could say best in the pocket, working the pocket, movement, all those things. Best decision maker. Best ability to quickly read and react and go through, you know, coverages and diagnose plays that way. So from all those aspects, that's quarterback play in the NFL. And that's where I love Mac Jones. Yeah, can he make some of the plays that I think a Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence can make? No, maybe not. But either way, I look at him from that standpoint to go, no, this is a little bit more than your normal rookie. And he played at Alabama. And a conversation I think you heard me say with my dad, I think maybe you, I don't know if you were here that day. It might have been Paulie B. But, you know, 17 games at Alabama is worth 17 more than 17 games at other places. It is. That schedule, who they play, how they're coached on a weekly basis, and then, of course, all the coaching that he got before that, before he ever played either, it makes you more pro-ready than other places that are there for college, you know, college football and the quarterbacks.
So Mike Reese covers the Patriots for ESPN.com. He was at the OTA. He had some interesting quotes on how he's come in and really has hit the ground running, which is what you thought he would do, which was what a lot of people thought he would do. Pro ready.
Right.
They just think the ceiling's not as high. Mike wrote, every throw from Jones in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills Thursday seemed to go to the right place. There was little, if any, indecisiveness. He's probably further along. Now, get this. He's probably further along than any Patriots rookie quarterback at this point than anyone who came before him.
Right.
So he's including any Patriots quarterback who's ever come in as a rookie, including the great Tom Brady. He looks ahead, and he looks like he has a grasp of the playbook already. Now, could part of this be we've all been saying this for so long that we're looking for things to confirm that he's a smart guy who can make quick decisions? I mean, that could be part of it, but there's something impressive going on.
There's something going on. This stuff doesn't come out of New England. This is not normal, right? This is not. And, you know, they're not an organization to praise, you know, rookies anyways.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's enough chatter already for people like Mike Reese to go, wait, I'm seeing what I'm seeing and I'm hearing enough positive things behind the scenes to verify that I think I am seeing what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, he's not going to go out on a limb if the coaching staff
he's
or the
heard
people
enough
inside.
People, yeah. Right. I told you before the podcast, the phrase I was told about Mac Jones that I share is blown away. That was the thing that was I was told by New England right off the bat. There, just blown away by how he's come in, kind of taking control of the team, his leadership, his personality, his charisma, all of those things are very real. Again, here's another thing that was just wrong about Mac Jones. Yeah, he looks like nerdy white guy. I get it. They don't make him look any nerdier than him. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. But the facts are, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. Haven't we all been taught that? And when whoever you talk to, whether it's Alabama, and I know people at Alabama, and whether you listen to the players and things like that. And then also, I listen to the people I talk to in the pre-draft process. There's an edge about Mac Jones. This isn't just Johnny Nerdy white guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that's like, teammates love him. He's kind of like the practical joker. He's got a coolness about him. You know, I even had a coach like reference like, man, did you see in the draft how he just walked up through the hallway and he picked the hat on? He kind of like jammed it on like, yeah, fuck you. I was in here for the first 14 picks. I'm here now.
There's
you know
a
what
funny
I mean?
Video out there of a Jets fan watching and being like, oh, crap. Look at him walking. He's so confident.
The coach I'm talking about is a pretty high-level head coach in the NFL. Uh-huh. It was kind of like, this is what I like about that. But did you see what he brought that up to me after the draft? Huh. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I did notice it. That is something that gets talked about a lot. So we'll see where this goes. But I do think, you
can
know,
I read you the Kendrick Bourne quote about him?
Thank you. That's where I wanted to go with that.
Good energy. He goes, good energy. Awesome guy. Can feel his leadership already. He has a swag to him that I didn't know he had
uh-huh.
at first.
Uh-huh. There's something there. I heard it from everybody from the start of this whole process.
Now, you'd think any quarterback that played in college at a top program would come in with a certain level of swag.
Sure.
Now, they had Jarrett Stidham come in there last year. Yeah. You were fairly high on his talent level.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't seem like he had that same swag.
No, and it sounds like he was a guy that they signed Cam, and he was just like, okay, I guess Cam's a starter. I'll stop fighting against this and just let him be the guy. And I just don't think you're going to get that kind of reaction from a Mac Jones. I don't. I don't think he's that type of guy. I don't. And, you know, again, you're right. You know, all quarterbacks been successful in the NFL. I mean, college come to the NFL. They have a charisma about them and certain things, but there are, hey, just like anything, arm strength, decision-making, some are better than others in those departments. And I've always been told that's a strength for Mac Jones. I don't expect him to be the starter there in New England, but I think he's going to be good enough to where if Cam did falter, that they'll have no problem bringing him off the bench to be the backup quarterback or the guy. I think he'll get far enough along in all areas, even like Mike Reese is talking about, knowing the offense and all of that stuff to where they'll feel comfortable. And to me, that's why they brought Brian Hoyer in.
Yeah.
I really think they got four quarterbacks right now. I think really Brian Hoyer's there to be the hey, if things really get crazy, you got experience and you're here, but you're the third stringer to help Mac Jones be the backup. And I would think Jared Stidham's only being kept at this point for, let's just make sure none of these other guys get hurt.
Yep.
And he will be on the street at some point as a free agent.
What do you think of Florio wondering in one of his stories that what if the Patriots have two packages? Or in some games, even, you go, this is a Cam game, this is a Mac Jones game. Would they go, as he put it, play 4D chess like that with two capable quarterbacks on the roster?
I mean, I don't want to ever put anything out of the realm of Bill Belichick and what he might bring to the table. I don't view that as something that they would do. That's all I'll say. You know, I don't, just because in my experience working there or playing under Josh McDaniels in Denver and all that, New England's very into framing the quarterback. This is our team. This is the culture of our team this year. We're not going to have two alpha males dividing the locker room. Oh, I like the Cam Newton offense better. Oh, I like the Mac Jones offense. Do all that. I just don't think that's what Bill Belichick would do. So, I think whoever starts is going to be the starter. Cam is going to grow within the offense, too. But Mac Jones will be ready to go. And if Cam does get hurt or something like that, then I don't think it'll be Brian Hoyer. I think you're going to see Mac Jones.
I want Mac Jones to play well because I think there have been so many people that, and there's this open-minded, closed-minded debate. It's like, oh, Chris, you're not open-minded. You don't see the value of a running quarterback this year for whatever reason in Justin Fields or Trey Lance. But really, if you look at the flip side of it, they're kind of closed-minded to the fact that maybe a guy who looks the way that Mac Jones does can still be a successful NFL quarterback.
Exactly. That's right. I think, again, I understand. I'm usually not the guy that likes the Mac Jones.
Right.
But I'm not judging books by covers. I'm not. I'm going to look at what I see, results, what I see on the field, my studies. And none of that say, you know, what we're talking about is a guy that was helped by the system or the players or anything like that. And, you know, also, hey, listen, I love a quarterback that can run and do things like that. I'm more into quarterbacks, though, that can buy time and still carve you up with their right arm.
Yeah.
That's what I like more. You know, it's one thing, and here's another thing. I think my dad brought it up a few weeks ago. You know, too much we get talked about with, like, the quarterback thing and go, oh, that was an awesome 7-yard run, wasn't it? Woo, what a 7-yard run. And we talk about, see, this is what this guy brings to the offense. See that 7-yard run? See, when things break down, but then I watch the film the next day and I go, yeah, that 7-yard run, there was a 70-yard bomb walk-in touchdown that he didn't throw because the first guy wasn't open and he's his whole life gone, wait, I can run, so he runs. And we just go, oh, that's cool. It was a cool 7-yard run. Look at that. But that would be the other aspect I would challenge to that a little bit, that we lose in translation or doesn't get quantified on stats. And last thing here before we go to the next quarterback, or unless you want to bring something else up, I am annoyed about the double talk with Mac Jones. I mean, it's a double talk. And you've heard me say this a little bit. When it was rumored he was going to be the 49ers pick, and I was the one out there, Mac Jones, oh, well, it'll probably work because of the offense, because he'll have Shanahan. So that'll work. It'll work. It'll work. But now Trey Lance is there, and nobody says that. It's, oh, he can buy a year and have him sit 2 years, and nobody's coming out going, well, no, just play him. He's got Shanahan. It should work. It should work. Instead, now I'm also hearing, well, Mac Jones is in the perfect place. He's in New England. That's the place for him. And so all the people that hated against him in the pre-draft process.
If he does well in New England, they'll go, well, it's New England.
It's New England. They've covered themselves for every angle possible.
If he falls on his face, they always know.
Oh, well, it was Mac Jones. I mean, that's why I told you not to pick him number 3. But I don't like that shit. That's got to end.
All right, so what is realistic? Yeah. Last thing. Hernan Favela says, what's the floor and ceiling for Mac Jones in the New England offense? Is it Brady-ish?
Oh, I'm not going to ever say Brady. Maybe ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe only 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not
right.
quite to Brady.
Slouch of a career, really. You know, I mean, you know, I think anybody that listened to me through the process, I said I thought Mac Jones could be a Drew Brees. I don't think he can be Tom Brady because I don't think his arm can ever be Brady. Again, you've heard me say that. Brady's arm is way better than people think. Way better. So that's where, but I still think it can be really high-level quarterback play, you know, great decisions, great throws, precision passing, executing the offense perfectly, winning a lot of big football games. Like, yes, and being a top 5 quarterback in football, I think that's a ceiling for Mac Jones.
And in 5 years, you'd have a hard time believing he's dropped off your top 40 list.
I would have a hard time thinking that. I would. You know, he's one of those guys, too, that, okay, here's the floor, right? He asked about the ceiling.
Yeah.
The floor is like, okay, maybe he's a better version of Andy Dalton or something like that. A guy that, you know, that's as bad as it's going to get to me. Low-level starter who's an unreal backup. That's as bad as it can get. You know, and like, oh, he has a 12-year career doing that. But so, yes, I see some Brady-ish. I see more of a Breeze ish, and hopefully New England gets more than one Super Bowl out of that, but I, you know what I mean.
All right, you carved your own transition, going from number 30 in Mac Jones, a player that I'm very excited about.
Thank you.
To number 29 on your list, to a player I'm less excited about, but is one spot higher than Mac Jones.
One spot higher, only because of experience a little bit. I'm holding that in regard, and that's Andy Dalton. Yes, and I did not mean to make that segue before. I'm not that talented. I just brought that up. But, yes, Andy Dalton, Chicago Bears, here pictured on the podcast if you're watching in the Dallas Cowboy uniform. Andy Dalton, undervalued physical ability is how I'd like to make the first thing there just with him. Not that he's going to wow you or anything like that. But I don't know if we always give Andy Dalton quite the credit we deserve for, yes, he can make all the throws. He can. And he can make power throws, too. Throws a pretty good deep ball. He's a better athlete than we give him credit for. You know, not that, again, he's going to turn the corner and run 30-yard gains, but he can move around the pocket and scramble for a 10-yard gain when he needs to. You know, those things are what he does, let alone consistency, knowing how to play the game. And, you know, where I would go, there's the game manager talk, right, with some quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit more than a game manager to me. So, like, you know, we talked about Teddy Bridgewater, where I always use the phrase, like, you know, not going to lose you games, but not going to win you games either. Andy Dalton, for the most part, is a not going to lose you games. But I do think there's a little bit more of an aspect of can win you a game. And not that it's going to, like, blow you away. I just mean he can make a few more throws in a game with his right arm to swing the pendulum into his team's favor maybe than some of the other guys that are similar to him on this top 40 list. And that's where, you know, I like Andy Dalton.
So he started 9 games with the Cowboys last year.
Yeah.
And I did a little comparison between Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton when he got in there. Touchdown percentage of passes that were touchdowns, Dalton slightly ahead of Dak.
Right.
And I saw that, and I was like, I'm going to build this whole stat list of where Dalton performed just about as well as Dak.
Yeah. And then what happened?
I couldn't. No, yes. Because yards per game, it was like Dak was throwing 370 yards per game in the
and
five
games.
And
he was at what, like
197.
One, okay.
So they didn't throw that much at all.
Right.
Threw more interceptions. Quarterback rating, Dak had a 97. Dalton had an 87, which isn't bad. He was 25th in the NFL, and he's 29th on your list, so maybe it's about right for him. But he wasn't as good as Dak, and a little concerning because there were a lot of weapons on that Cowboys offense.
I know. Well, it shows you, I think, one, Dak is better than what everybody wanted to give him credit for.
Yeah.
Dak can make the weapons in the offense really reach its potential, I guess is what I would say. Where Andy Dalton, you might, that type of offense as we're seeing there. And again, we can't always go by the stats too because they change the way they play a little too, right? Because they're going, wait, we can't just put as much on this guy's shoulders as we did Dak and expect him to carry the team and do that. Mm-hmm. He's not as talented. So that changes it either way. But yeah, he wasn't capable of making some of those big time explosive throws that Dak Prescott. You can say what you want about Dak Prescott. His arm's big time. He makes a ton of explosive plays by standing in the pocket and making big throws down the field, let alone his size and things like that help him stand in the pocket to let those plays develop more down the field than an Andy Dalton, too. So, you know, a lot of good things. But, yes, he's your guy here where he's 29 because of experience, played the game, he's pretty consistent. But like some other guys we talked on the list, it's like, well, I like him, but I think we can do better.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and that's where he is. He's a low-level starter slash really high-end backup quarterback. And, you know, yes, even though I have 29 and spots ahead, eight spots ahead of Justin Fields, I would expect Justin Fields to close the gap as far as, you know, experience, knowing how to play and doing those things to get it close enough to where, yes, he does take over at some point during the year because there is more potential and more high-end play to be had if Justin Fields reaches his potential as compared to Andy Dalton.
So you think it'll be Dalton week one? Because that's what the coaching staff has said.
Yes, right. I do. But here's my thing. And this is, I had to go on a Chicago, you know, podcast, NBC Sports Network there last week. My big thing is, if I'm Chicago, I'm have a package for Justin Fields ready week one. I mean, again, we know what Andy Dalton is, and we don't think the Bears are not going to the Super Bowl this year. We know they're not.
I mean,
not.
They were a playoff team last year.
I know, but I'm not ready to go Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think it's more about the big picture of 2022 and what you can do from from there on out with Justin Fields is really what you want to do. But if I'm the Bears, I am definitely have a package for Justin Fields in week one and a week two, week three, week four, whatever. I'm going to put him in the game. We're going to get him experience. And I think I said this today on PFT, Amen. All right, hey, first drive of the game. Bears got the ball. Andy Dalton goes down. They kick a field goal. Great. 9-play drive, 76 yards. Good drive. Great. All right, next drive. Andy Dalton's still out there. Oh, they get a first down, and then they go 3 and out. So 6-play drive, they punted, blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay, it's still 3-0, or it's 3-3, or whatever. Hey, let's put Justin Fields in for a series here. They're not ready for these quarterback runs we got to sign and all those. Let's bring a few of those in. Do that. Oh, and we got like 2 or 3 passes that he's real comfortable with that we've schemed up that we know are going to be real easy for him against this defense and things like that. Oh, he scored a touchdown? Well, maybe we keep him another drive. Oh, it, 3 and out? Okay, we punt. We bring Andy Dalton in. I just feel like we could see that. And if he can show growth in those departments – and you get to week 3 or week 4, and now he's had a number of games and had some moments where he stayed on the field a few series in a row because of success, then I think you just go, come on. We know the situation here.
Mm-hmm.
Pick number 11, stud, 29th quarterback in Chris Sims' quarterback rankings. We know what he is. He can't really go much higher, even if he does reach his potential. That's just not what he is. Let's move on to the Justin Fields era.
Justin Fields is going to excite the fan base. Dak Prescott excites the fan base in Dallas more than Andy Dalton. But if you want to compare Andy Dalton to maybe some favorable comparisons,
yeah,
you can do that with the Bears quarterback since 2011. Kristen, do we have that graphic? Because it's not
I bet.
The Bears have had
yeah.
a ton of great quarterbacks and quarterback play. Mitch Trubisky, they were hoping he was going to be the guy. And so we're taking a look here on YouTube. The numbers, pass yards per game is up, touchdowns. It's all actually pretty similar. Andy Dalton fits right in with the Chicago Bears quarterback since 2011.
He really does.
I thought he would be a little bit better than them, but...
I'm not going to lie, I did too. I thought I was going to see a little bit more of a difference there.
Win-loss, he has the edge, but we don't necessarily like to give that only to the quarterback.
No, exactly right. I mean, listen, it proves that, obviously, he's been playing at a pretty consistent level. You know, he won a lot of games with the Cincinnati Bengals, went to the playoffs, all those things they're real, all of that too. You know, I could also sit here just with Andy Dalton for that sake, too. Like, you know, we always talk about, you know, yards left on the field. What's there to be had? Did you take full advantage of everything you had there, right? Well, you know, that's something I could fight back with Andy Dalton, too. Yeah, he went to 5 different playoff appearances, but I also go, well, I think there's some other quarterbacks we could have put on that team in those years, and they would have won one of those playoff games. There's things like that, too. They were more talented than losing 5 years in a row, you know, and... You know, there's something about the leadership, the attitude, or something that doesn't quite wear off on the rest of the team when Andy Dalton's the quarterback, as it does other guys. You know, and I do, and when we get into nitpicking stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's what I do give, you know, the advantages to some guys, leadership, presence, those type of things.
I'm not saying this is what you would do.
Yeah.
But this is feeling like one of those where, like in fantasy football, you do this sometimes where you have your rankings and then push comes to shove and you're on the clock and Andy Dalton's sitting there and so is Drew Locke and Tua and Mac Jones and Jared Goff. And you go, I've got Dalton higher on my list. Can I really pull the trigger? And is he the guy that's going to lead my team?
Yeah. No,
seems like it might be hard.
It is when you put it in that aspect. But I think if we sat there and I showed you some film with Tua and Drew Locke last year, you go, well, fuck, that's a little scary. I don't know if I want to make that guy take him off.
Sure.
Because what I've told everybody too, again, this is about this year only. This is basically my 40-man depth chart. It's my team. We all got the same offensive linemen, the receivers, everything like that. So, like, to what you're saying,
yeah.
I get it. You're right. There's more high end there. But if I'm the coach of the team, there's also like, well, the oh shit factor's there for those guys too. Like,
and
I'm
maybe
just not sure.
A team especially like the Bears, right, where you were a borderline playoff team. And who knows? I would think that Matt Nagy probably has a higher opinion of his team than you do of them. Like,
yeah.
I bet they're thinking this can be another playoff year. Win a couple games, get a good seed, make a run in the playoubs. Like, why not this year?
I don't.
And
doubt
so you,
that.
you would want an Andy Dalton in that situation.
Yeah,
at least to start.
Yeah, at least to start to get everything going off in the right direction to where you don't maybe have to game plan everything to babysit the quarterback so he can grow and do all that stuff too. Again, I understand all those people you talked about and everything. The potential's greater. You know, that's why. This is part of my business. This is what I do early in June. By the end of August, I could be sitting here telling you that I think you should go with Justin Fields. I've seen enough preseason football that, yeah, it's not perfect. It might not be as consistent as as Andy Dalton, but it's still consistent enough. And then what he brings to the table as far as, you know, big-time playmaking ability or schematical changes to what he does there, that makes up for the consistency or, you know, the experience and all those type of things. But as I sit here right now with a guy like those guys and you know my questions about some of those guys, yeah, I got to put Andy Dalton in front of them right now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Good for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Do you feel like our show is different with these mics yet? Do you feel like you're swearing less? Do you feel like there's a different
feel
to our show?
I'm not swearing less. I actually feel like I feel looser, actually. I feel better.
You feel freed.
I do.
This is a freeing moment.
Right? You do too, obviously.
I do too. I feel like my thoughts are coming out.
Yeah.
Like for some reason, it's like seeing this professional microphone in front of me. I'm like, all right, let's bring it and let's make sure I have my thoughts ordered in order. Pete, what do you think so far? Have we stepped it up here? So much more mature. Our maturity level has increased.
Sometimes
here.
That's what happens. Sometimes you question. You're like, man, I don't know if I can do this.
Yes.
And then you put on that NFL helmet, and you're like, wait, I fucking belong here. I can throw lasers here too.
When I was walking up to the microphone today, I was like, I can't. I'm not ready for this. Here
I'm
we
not
are
ready for a real mic
mid pod. I feel like I'm knocking
it out of the
park.
You've raised your game.
All right, and so raising their game in this quarterback list is ahead of Andy Dalton and ahead of Mac Jones. That was my worst transition so far, but still better flow. Number 28 on your list. Another exciting prospect is
Trevor Lawrence. That's right. Oh, baby, look at that. There's me with my long hair and Trevor Lawrence. You tricky tricksters, you. Man, look at that. There's the man, the stud. Yeah. I mean, the franchise. What do you want me to say about Trevor Lawrence? I mean, I'm a huge fan. I know people think I'm a hater because I put Zach Wilson in front of him. But, man, Trevor Lawrence, come on. What can't he do on a football field? I mean, I'm pumped. You know, we talk about, you know, like he brings to me everything to the table. You know, the things that we talked about, first off, on the field, yeah, we know, skills for days. Big, can run, you know, can scramble. It's different than running. Running is like, oh, I kept the ball on the read option off the left edge. Scrambling is like, wait, the pocket's closing down. I got to dance around and then escape and get out. He can do that. Throws the ball well on the run. Can throw under pressure. Has a big-time arm that has room for improvement. as you've heard me say throughout the process, mechanically, to improve his power, any of those type of things. There's room to grow there. You know, in a lot of ways, I like that. And then, like what we talked about, like maybe things that like Andy Dalton and Jared Goff lack and things like that. Trevor Lawrence does not lack any of those. He walks on the field and you go, there's fucking Trevor Lawrence. He's the man. You know that right away. He brings something to his team with his presence and the way he acts and all of those type of things too. And you have a smart comment you're about to make. I can tell your look on your face and you have a smart ass comment.
Yeah, hold it back. Well, you say he walks onto the field and you go, he's the man.
Right.
I go, but if from a distance, you might see his hair and might think he's not the man. But, you know, it's like you might be fooled at
or
first,
you might
but
think
you
he's,
get,
is that Jesus?
Right.
Who is that?
Hey, you get closer, though, and you're like, oh, that is the man.
That
there
is the
is,
man.
Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I think he brings everything to the table as far as what you want from a starting quarterback in the NFL, from every facet. I really do. And I think that's the exciting thing about him. Yes, I know I think Zach Wilson had a little more talent, and I'm more excited about that. But, man, I'm still excited about Trevor Lawrence. You know, he's just – there's nothing not to like about his game. And, you know, even within my worries a little bit about some of the mechanical things, and, I talked about in the draft process about a few throws you'd go, man, he shouldn't miss that and all that. Just in some of the clips I've seen just at Jacksonville already – I do. It does look like he's already tightened things up a little bit with his mechanics. That there is a thought process and something going on there.
He's had some good days, but he did have a bad day.
Yeah,
and that was written about in a USA Today story. Of course, everything gets overanalyzed because we have nothing else to do. I mean, it's May into June. It was the red zone day.
Right.
Yeah, did you guys talk about this
no,
on
we
PFT
didn't, but
at all?
I mean, I also can read. So
I'll read you this story. It said on four of his passing attempts, he overthrew receivers, and two ended up as pass breakups. In all, he misfired on his final seven attempts. Now, Urban Meyer was asked about it after practice. He said, "Yeah, he had a great day yesterday and an okay day today." He said, "A big reason is the red zone emphasis. That's obviously a very hard area of the field." Urban went on to say the field changes, especially against NFL talent all
Definitely.
Over the field, and defense had the upper hand today. It just wasn't for him.
Yeah, it's hard. It's the hardest thing for a rookie quarterback. Red zone offense for a young quarterback in general. You know, it's first off, you're getting used to the NFL where everything's quicker. Then you get in the red zone, and the field feels like you're like, am I on a peewee football field with Giants here? Like, there's nowhere. Where do you throw the football? So the decisions even come quicker than the normal NFL quarterback decisions. The field's smaller. The defense only has to think about going forward. There's nothing behind them to worry about. So they're always in a position to explode going forward and react and make things tighter that way. And you're going to be more safe with throws down there too, which can lead to, oh, maybe at the 50-yard line that would have been complete and you would have put it here, but you don't want to throw an interception in the red zone. So you put it in a really safe spot. Oh, let me throw it high and outside just in case my guy misses it, it goes out of bounds, it doesn't pop in the air and become an interception that way, whatever it may be. And that can lead to it too. So I don't read too much into that, and I think we'll probably hear more of that as we go. Also too, like with stuff like that too, hey, when it's 7-on-7 in his red zone, the defense knows you're going to throw the ball every play. You know, when they have the thought of the run, that makes things easier too, which will make life easier on a Trevor Lawrence.
So Trevor Lawrence was a star at Clemson. Kristen, do we have his 3 years there? Because I think always the danger with players like this, and you see, where was it, 2018, he was pretty good. Then 2019, I think that was, I mean, all three of his years were
pretty good. Yeah,
they're
all phenomenal,
good.
Right.
But always the danger is that we write the story in a guy in 2018, freshman quarterback. Oh, this guy's unbelievable. He's going to be the next great thing. And then we don't want to revisit that story, even if we have evidence to the contrary. Now, you put Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence. I mean, is there a chance that everyone's gotten a little ahead of themselves on this quote-unquote generational talent of Trevor Lawrence?
I'll say, like, I heard, like, Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, right? I don't know if I was willing to go quite there right yet. But, like, I think there's the potential to be that kind of guy. I do. Just like I say Zach Wilson has a chance to be Rodgers or Mahomes, yeah, Trevor Lawrence has a chance to be a new age Peyton Manning or an Andrew Luck that way. You know, Peyton Manning, but it's evolution. It's 23 years later, and he's a little faster and things like that, right?
Right.
I mean, that's almost how I look at him. In a lot of ways, he has a similar throwing motion, too, to the Mannings that way. The sky's the limit. And I think the awesome thing with Trevor Lawrence is, like, the best thing, how we talked about, like, other quarterbacks on their floor. Like, to me, the floor with Trevor Lawrence is like, oh, he's only been like the 15th or 16th best quarterback in football for the 12th year in a row.
Right.
He never really got to be that top five guy. But as bad as it got, it was like he was still a good starting quarterback for a long time. And maybe we won a Super Bowl. Like, so that's the great thing about Trevor Lawrence. He's such a safe pick. He's certainly safer than Zach Wilson. I recognize that and see that. I had my conversations with my dad during the draft process about this a lot because he was like, I think if I'm a GM, I'm taking Trevor. Hmm. He goes, but I'm a little bit of a chicken that way and conservative. I don't want to do that. You know, I was obviously opposite of that, but I like Trevor a lot.
You've made your own transition once again.
Boom.
On the pod. From 28 and Trevor Lawrence, we go to 27 and
Zach Wilson, New York Jets. That's right. Oh, baby, there's me and Zach. Oh, wait, haters, get away from me. Woo! I like that one. That was cool. Yes, you know, I'm all in on Zach Wilson. He's my guy. I love him. Of course, I love Trevor Lawrence, as I just discussed. But Zach Wilson, he's just got an appeal to my eye that the other quarterbacks did not have in this draft. You know, first off, I think his talents are special. You know that. I think his throwing is out of this world special. I mean, again, I don't think anybody's really going to doubt that anymore. I think he put that to rest after his pro day, where it's like people kind of wanted to fight against it, but then they saw that and they were like, okay, that's really good. Like people like yeah. Trevor Lawrence sending out an Instagram message going, sheesh, like, which I respect out of Trevor Lawrence, like basically going like, whoa, I'm awesome, but that was freaking awesome. Like, that's cool. And that's what I think Zach Wilson is. I think he's one of those guys. The more you – if you talk to people who have seen him in person, it's always – they I saw him in person. Oh, yeah, he's a little faster. Oh, he's a little more explosive. Oh, his arm, dude, the ball explodes. That's what you hear after you hear from
people.
He's
not a giant, too, but he's bigger than you think.
He's bigger than you think. Right? Exactly right. He's not a giant. You know, he's Aaron Rodgers-type quarterback, that size. It's 6'2", it's 215, 220-ish, right around there. But, you know, incredible athlete, can really run as far as, like, you know, in the pocket, I told you before, I thought Mac Jones was probably the best in-the-pocket quarterback in the draft. I think this guy's second and capable of doing more and exceeding expectations as far as getting out of, like, crazy situations with his feet and making things happen, let alone what makes him even more dangerous in those situations than a Mac Jones is, of course, sometimes he doesn't even need to get out of those situations. He just goes, oh, wait, I'm stuck. I'm in a bad spot. I don't need to scramble. 30-yard laser sidearm. Oh, I got it. Oh, yeah. Oh, Mac, and you guys had to get out of that? I didn't. I could just stand there and still throw it. I didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, and those are things, again, that you can't quantify in a stat sheet or do anything like that. You know, oh, I didn't see him throw under pressure. Well, he stood on his back foot and threw a 40-yard laser before the pressure got there, and it didn't get there. So he didn't have to, but he was ready for it. And, you know, there's all those things. But I love Zach Wilson's talent. I like his moxie. I do. And the fact that he's had to fight over some things in college football and all that, I think are all going to be good for him. But, yeah, I think him in the NFL, you've heard me say it, he's got Rodgers, Mahomes-ish type qualities to me that really pop out. And I think it's a perfect marriage with the Jets, and I'm really excited about Zach Wilson.
So these two are always going to be linked, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. Right. Kristen, can we take a look at their 2020 seasons together? So here are, including the postseasons, what they did. You know, they're similar, right?
Well,
they're both awesome. And it's always going to be hard to compare. And that was big.
Exactly.
We talked about that so much in the draft process. It's like, oh, you got BYU, and then you got SEC.
Right.
You got Clemson. You're playing against tough opponents. But you also got pretty good teammates there. And so those debates are really hard to have because every situation is unique and different. And
It's hard to have that debate. That's right. You know, it's just you do your best to evaluate. Both are awesome. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, if we switched it around, I don't think the results are going to be a lot different on either side. I think it's going to be about what we saw. I do. And, you know, of course, yeah, there's the BYU aspect and all that. I understand that. It's a real thing. I get it. But, you know, again, it's not an end-all, be-all. And I think the other thing I would just say to that, you know, again, I have no doubt that last year's film was Zach Wilson won that battle. Of the 2020 film versus the 2020 film of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson was better last year. I feel very confident in saying that. Now, Trevor Lawrence had to deal with COVID and a few things too. I get that. You know, career-wise, we know. Trevor Lawrence, he's the guy, did it for 3 years under the spotlight, some big situations and all those type of things. And that's where people varied, I think, in their evaluations of the two guys. One more put like in the stock of, ooh, what I see right now and this guy. And others looked at it like, ooh, what he is as a totality and where I think he's going to be and all of those things. That was Trevor Lawrence. And kind of whatever one you seem to favor seemed to be, from the ones I talked to in the NFL, was like who they had as their number one quarterback.
Yeah. And the one argument you never hear is the quarterback that plays in the SEC on a bad team that does okay, the Kellen Mond, right? That's why I always walk away from those discussions about the schedule, and no one gives those guys credit.
That was crazy. One of my big talking. That's what we talked about Kellen Mond last week on the podcast, and that was one of my big things. I don't understand it either. It goes back to our conversation we had at the start of the podcast. For some reason, some people get this excuse, and this one doesn't. Giving this guy this excuse. This other guy has that same excuse, but I'm not going to let him have it. I don't know. But either way, I think both went to a place where the systems fit them. They've gone all in on them as their quarterbacks to support them with players and things like that. And not that I expect like eye-popping, amazing rookie years, but I think it's going to be – I would be shocked if both didn't have good years where we came away and went, there's some growth, and I like what they're doing here.
Let's get into that comparison, because Mehmet 305 asked a good question. Which rookie quarterback is set up to have the most success in year one based on his weapons, O-line, offensive coordinator? So we'll just do Lawrence and Wilson here.
Yeah.
So we'll go the better weapons. Who has the better weapons, Jacksonville Jaguars, New York Jets?
Oof. I'm pulling up the
teams.
I am.
Both teams here.
I'm excited about what the Jets have done with Corey Davis and, you know, getting Michael Carter, of course, in the draft and doing all that. But still,
Jags might have a better running attack, ETN.
And Robinson.
Robinson, what did he do last year?
I'm probably going to go with the Jaguars.
Okay.
Because of their offensive lines are nothing special. I think Jacksonville's O-line's maybe a little further along than the Jets. Jets have better tight ends. I do think that the Jaguars have the better wide receiving core right now. I think when you just look in, and first off, DJ Chark is a borderline star at receiver.
Yeah.
He's a definite number one, really good. Laviska Shenault does a really good job. He's better than I thought he was going to be. Getting Marvin Jones, you know, I think I look at those three, that's a pretty good three, let alone what you're talking about with the two running backs.
Yeah.
The Jets, there's potential for them to be better. I just don't know if I can call it right now with Corey Davis and, Denzel Mims, who is going to be in the second year but was hurt a little last year, and Elijah Moore, who they drafted in the second round, and Michael Carter, the fourth round. It's just like I need to see a little bit of, like, Jacksonville has a few more proven commodities for me right now.
Can the Jets win on the offensive line? Mekhi Becton they got last year.
They're doing the right things with him, Elijah Vera Tucker. I'm missing somebody else. They did a pretty good job, I thought, in free agency, too. Here, I got it in front of me. Just with some roundabout guys. Oh, it wasn't free agency. I think I'm thinking of free agency 2 years ago.
This is the ultimate test of your memory here. We're taking two of the worst teams last year and breaking them down position by position.
No, well, it's okay. I still should have a pretty good idea. But the Jets, I think, are in a pretty good spot. Like, both, it's very similar. You know, the Mekhi Becton, I love that. The Jaguars have one tackle who's pretty good, who they franchised, and Cam Robinson. But then they have another one that's unproven to this point. And the Jets are kind of in that Jawan Taylor, right, who was the second-round pick. Thank you, Pete. The Jets, George Fant at right tackle, who was pretty good last year doing that. I'm missing somebody else on their roster that I kind of like. But either way, they're right down the middle,
yeah.
The bottom middle as far as offensive lines are concerned.
All right, so who do you think will win more games? So PointsBet, the official sports book of NBC Sports, has both at 6.
Yeah.
Now, Jacksonville has the 8th easiest schedule, according to projected win
totals.
And
the Jets has to be hard, right?
Jets are in the mid-pack, 16th.
Ooh, okay. So
Jacksonville's easier. Jets are a little harder, but still mid-pack.
Yeah, mid-pack, I think. And the thing that jumped out to me about the Jets is the aspect of the start of their schedule. And do you have that pulled up? Because that's where I looked at it to be a little scary. Hold on, because my NFL Jesus, when you pull up team schedules.
It's not working right now?
Well, when you pull up team schedules, it's the worst. I don't know what else to say.
Okay. Here is the schedule. Here you go. Kristen's pulled it up.
There we go.
So, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the
Panthers. Okay. Toss-up game. It's not the worst. Okay. I mean, it's not the worst. Patriots at Broncos, Titans. I mean, yeah, they're going to be the underdog in those three games. Falcons, okay. Been back with the Patriots. All right, so there's that. Do you have Jacksonville's handy, Kristen, just so I could look at that?
Oh, wow, Kristen, look at that.
She
immediately
is on the spot. Yeah, I guess I like that layout of that schedule a little bit better.
What do you mean?
Texans, yep, so they're
Peter's
favored in that
they're
one.
Favored at Texans
How
week
could they
one,
not
I
be?
Guess. Yeah, I guess.
Right.
That makes sense.
Broncos, at least they get at home.
Cardinals,
yeah, I mean, it's not
tough.
A whole lot easier, but
at
okay,
Bengals,
I guess
easier.
If you're going to make me pick one right now, I'll go Jacksonville.
You think Jacksonville wins more games?
I do. I guess what I'm only giving them, I just feel like they have a little easier of a schedule to gain some momentum and confidence compared to the Jets, and I'm big into that start of the season.
Well,
as you
either
know.
Way, those are two exciting quarterbacks, number 28, Trevor Lawrence, number 27, Zach Wilson, which leads us to the final one we'll talk about today. And he was a former high-round pick, one that you did not agree with at the time. You've come around on him.
Yeah.
But today, this is a make-or-break year. Number 26 on your list.
Staying in New York, DJNY. That's right. Daniel Jones, New York Giants. Yeah, Daniel Jones. I mean, again, it's a huge year. We know that. This is a make-or-break year for Daniel Jones in his career, really, I think, if he wants to continue to be the unchallenged starting quarterback for the New York Giants. You know, again, he's got all the skills and attributes to be a really good franchise quarterback, but it's got to come together, and they got to help him bring it together. That's the other thing I'll say with Daniel Jones too. I mean, come on, hey, it's year three. It's he's finally got a same coordinator, so that's nice that he has that. They've put some weapons around him. They've built their offensive line there with the Giants. So he should feel better that way and everything like that. So, you know, I don't know. I don't necessarily like to say the make or break year type of thing and make that type of statement. But it's as big of a year three as I feel like for a quarterback as I can remember. Because I just feel like people here in New York are questioning it. There was the question already, like you talked about, when he got picked at number 6 3 years ago in the NFL draft. I was one that, yes, did not think it was he was worthy of that draft pick. But here, when you break down Daniel Jones and why I say, like, the potential's there. The guy has all the tools to be really, really damn good and do some special things and lead the Giants. He's an elite passer. I mean, you know, no matter what type of throw you want to talk about, his ability to throw the ball with power or touch or off his back foot and people are going to hit him and he has to throw the ball touch or a medium banana ball over the linebacker but get it down over the, you know, underneath the safety in a deep crossing route, he can make every throw. He's got every club in the bag, Ahmed. Yeah. He has that. You've seen him run. His athleticism's real. I mean, he was second on their team in rushing last year.
He fell down
time. On that 180-yard run that I'd go, most quarterbacks couldn't have got that far to fall.
Yeah.
But either way, you're right, he fell. But it's a real thing with his game. Now, to me, and, like, why he's here where he is is...
He was 22 last year, so he has dropped down a little bit, but I think maybe he's still higher than some people would have thought.
Maybe. It's just the way the year fell out. He dropped out. A few other guys played better last year. They rose up. He was, of course, was hurt at the end of the year. You know, it was inconsistent at times, and I don't put that all on him, but where I will put it all on him is, like, it has to come together this year as far as just, you know, maybe limiting some of the bonehead interception plays and being a little bit of less of that, you've heard me say this in the past, that robot or that statue in the pocket, you know, to utilize that athleticism. Damn, you can keep the ball in all these quarterback design runs and do all these type of things. You need to be able to scramble and move and do those type of things too. That, to me, would be like the next big you know, piece of the puzzle.
Right.
Pocket presence, getting out of the pocket, making plays off schedule and doing it that way, not playing within the pocket so much, I think is almost a bad thing for him to a degree. He needs to get a little bit of a quicker of an alarm clock.
So he has been showing good leadership this offseason. There's some stories out there about him organizing private workouts in Arizona a few weeks ago, early in the offseason.
Yeah.
He's got some throwing sessions together in New Jersey with Sterling Shepard, David Sills, new teammate Kenny Galladay. He took the new signees out to dinner. Kyle Rudolph he took out to dinner. So, I mean, I give him credit for that. The same things you talked about with Mac Jones.
Sure.
It's like I think sometimes it's more difficult for a guy who hasn't necessarily succeeded up to the standards of himself or his teammates or his city. And he's still trying to show the leadership out there. I don't think that's always easy to do.
It's not. It's like as compared to the guy who has yet to do anything, but we're all hopeful.
Kind of, yeah. Right?
But we're hopeful for you, but we've seen you fail, too.
Yeah.
So what are you? You're right. It's not always easy to stand up and be that guy and lead that way.
What do you think about his turnovers? Because do we have his 2019 versus 2020? Here are his numbers.
Too much.
He had fewer touchdown passes this past year, two fewer interceptions, but still a lot. A lot of fumbles, but, Chris, his first eight starts, he had 13 turnovers, nine interceptions, four fumbles. Last six starts, just three turnovers. So maybe trending in the right direction.
Yeah, maybe. But what I would tell you to that is those last three starts, he was injured and they had to play a certain way where he might have not even should have been out there. I mean, if you remember correctly, I think he had, the hamstring issue or something like that to where he wasn't himself at the end of the year. He was not.
Yeah.
Which also could have led to less aggressive play calling and things like that, too, to limit some of those things you're
talking about.
But it's either way, it's got to improve. It does. You know, it all goes back to the pocket thing. It's all about the pocket conversation. I think in both areas, as I think about this, right, the fumbles happen because he sits in the freaking pocket too long. He tries to do what the coach says and, I'm going to stay here and go through the reads and do that. Get the hell out. Let's go. One, two, three. Okay, he's not there. We got to move. We got to make a move. We got to step up in the pocket, look for scrambling reins, try to get out, do something like that. That, to me, is the first problem. Too many fumbles that way. Like, I think of, like, you know, even the Cardinals game where he had the one return for the touchdown. I mean, he was oblivious to the guy coming around to him and taking the ball out of his hand. I believe it was Hassan Riddick who stripped it, but maybe I'm wrong. But, again, I love that he's so tough and he looks down the field. I'm actually going to tell you, no, look at the rush just a little bit more. Look, just a little. The great quarterbacks are looking at the rush now. That's over. I'm just telling you. You know where he's still, eyes downfield. No. Mahomes and Rodgers and Josh Allen don't have three eyes behind their fucking head. They're looking at the rush from time to time because they're gauging it. Wait, nobody's open. Let me see where the rush is. Am I okay? Let me look one more time. Is Stephon Diggs there? Oh, no, he's not. Let me make sure I'm not going to get hit again. Let me look back up. You know what I mean? That's part of the NFL now. That's where the level of play has gone. So it's different than, you know, my era, my dad's era, and like, you know, Peyton Manning got to stand in there and just look downfield and get crushed. It's different. It's a different game. So that, to me,
right,
the fumble department, I think it's the same thing in the interception department too at times. Where I want to go, you know, you made that throw because, okay, you went to one, he wasn't open. You went to two, he wasn't open. And now the pocket's collapsing in three, and he's not really open, but you don't want to take the sack. And it's like, let me just try to fit it in there. And that, to me, was a number of his interceptions, too, was that aspect, too, to where, then again, I want to just go, no, if you got out of the pocket and bought some time, maybe you could see something a little more clearly, and you wouldn't be worried about, it's collapsing. I got to make a decision. I got to do that. I think that's his biggest problem to his game.
He was sacked 9.1% of the time, second most in the NFL. Do you know who was first? The only quarterback who was sacked at a higher rate per pass play.
Okay, hold on. Don't tell me.
He was second. 9.1.
I'm going to say Russell.
Russell was not. He was sixth, I think.
Okay.
It was Carson Wentz. Pete guessed it in my ear. Ding, 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 Pete. Well,
similar
done.
Type of problem.
Yep.
Similar type of problem, though. Just eyes too focused downfield, oblivious to what's around. And it just can't be that way. Same type of thing, though. There's no doubt about that.
So maybe he's
and
got
then
a...
the pocket collapse and can lead them to do the errant throws like I'm sure. talking about. It's the same type of thing, same type of problem.
Well, maybe he needs to get his footwork in check, too, because Mickey Bruckner, do you know this guy from Annex Sports in Chatham, New Jersey? I guess he's a quarterback.
Chatham, New Jersey.
Chatham, New Jersey.
Yep.
But my family says Chatham. Oh. so he is a quarterback coach, and he's got a... You know, one of those complexes where they have warehouse. So we tweeted a couple videos of Daniel Jones. He noted this is what he wanted to do this offseason with him.
Thank you.
Get a balanced center of mass over his base.
Yes.
Hips move under his shoulders while his head and shoulders remain downfield.
Uh-huh.
And see how quickly he can put his foot into the ground and then move.
This is everything you just heard me talk about. I had no idea you had this video or anything like this. But this is what I mean. This is life in the NFL. It can't be, I'm going to drop back and sit on the A for 7 seconds and just look. And I'm not going to leave the A. Hey, Khalil Mack and Nick Bosa, I'm going to be right on the A the whole fucking time. Like, no. This is what I'm talking about. He's not open. Move. Let me get another lane. Okay, let me check. He's athletic enough and big enough to do all these type of things, let alone he's still smart enough, too, to be able to, like, hey, look at the coverage. Let me just take a quick peek and do those type of things. That's where the NFL is going, you know, and I think that's where he really has to make an adjustment. He would have been perfect in my dad's era. Late 80s, early 90s, we wouldn't be talking about any of this. And sorry, the game's changed in the last 30 years.
If you would have seen him moving his feet like that, where would you put him on your list? 15?
Well, he has the potential to be a top 15 quarterback. He does. I mean, everything he does, it's there. But now it's you know, hey, them helping him like I talked about, him being another year in the offense, and now just really putting it together. That's going to be the big thing. And let's not forget about last year, too. Offensive line issues, new offensive coordinator. Saquon Barkley got hurt early in the year. You know, Evan Engram couldn't catch the freaking ball.
Yep.
You know, there's some things, too, that have gone against Daniel Jones that were out of his control, and I don't think we can forget that if we're going to be fair.
All right, so that's all we give you for this podcast. Those are the five.
Whoop.
You'll have to wait to the next one to see who number 25
will
be.
You did a good job today, though, man.
We got through those, right? So now
You're better with
this
the mic.
This microphone has made me more professional.
You're right.
It slowed me down. Right. I'm playing within
myself.
It's
like you're Sean McVay to your Matthew Stafford. Now all of a sudden you're just better.
It's contained me. Right. It's harnessed some of what made me, but improved it. Let's get some questions from the homies here.
Okay.
And I think that was a good time to get into maybe a couple quarterbacks who are not going to make your list. Because I think up to this point, we thought, well, maybe they're on there. They're just higher. I think now it's become obvious that they're not going to make it. And one guy was 30th last year on your list.
Yeah.
This comes from Tanked for Trevor. Says, absolutely love the throwback Chuck Taylors for Reed. Oh, thank you. He's following our instructions of a specific compliment.
Yes.
Watching and then complimenting a specific thing. Thank you for that. I'm wearing them once again. He said, but does this mean that Gardner Minshew does not make the top 40 cut this year? 30th last year, he didn't make it.
He was right on the edge. As I told you before I told Ahmed before the podcast, because he was bringing up Gardner Minshew, and I just said, he was a tough one. I had like my last three spots left, and I had a list of like five or six quarterbacks that I thought were worthy of those last three spots, and I left him off. I did, yeah. You know, again, Gardner Minshew is a little bit falls into that category of like, you know, Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater to a degree. I think there's a little bit more of a playmaking ability maybe than Teddy Bridgewater. I'll say that. But, yeah, it's still early in his career. I need to see more. And there's been some guys who've rose and some talented guys that have come into the draft. I mean, through the draft, obviously.
You're not writing him off, though.
I'm not writing him off. Yes. I think he was a really tough one. And, yeah, he's a guy that he could be in the top 40 for years to come as a really high-level backup or something like that. Either way, he's dancing right around it.
All right. The next one is a name that I think is going to shock a lot of people.
Shouldn't by now, but yeah.
I think there are fans in Philadelphia
who have I'm sorry.
Their quarterback as a top 25 quarterback in the NFL. Jalen Hurts is not in your top 25. He is not in your top 40.
No, he's not. And I'm not sitting here like proud to say it. I didn't do it to create any headlines. But yeah, the way I look at it, I don't think he's as good as any of these 40 guys I got here. Again, you know, I understand his running. It's good. Throwing, I still have major concerns about. And I can show you a tons of throws on films that just go, listen, this is not acceptable in the NFL, some of these throws. So, yeah, there's a lot more I got to see from that aspect. And, yeah, I look at Jalen Hurts as kind of still a project and a starting quarterback a little bit. I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but by default, because of a weird situation in Philadelphia, not necessarily that he, like, grabbed it by its horns and just blew everybody away and, oh, my gosh, wow, he's so good, we got to keep him on the field. No, there's I still have way too many questions to be answered before I can throw him on here yet.
Let me give you a Julio Jones question because let's break away from the list just for 1 second because we did get a question from Cat JK.
Right.
Does Julio Jones fit the Patriots system, or would he be frustrated there? And I hope that Philadelphia fans don't think we just moved on from Hurts so quick there. But
you're insensitive.
But we have. We're on a time limit here. What about Julio and the Pats?
I mean, I love it. Can Julio, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, check his ego at the door, you know, a little bit? Yeah, I don't think your stats will be the same there as maybe some other places. Cam Newton's going to be the quarterback. Right? I expect them to be, at least. Maybe they will be in year two if Mac Jones takes over and the offense changes a little bit. But that's where, you know, you're going to really sacrifice winning. And maybe not a weekly 8 catches, 124-yard type stat line. You might have weeks where it's like, no, you had 3 catches. You had 48 yards. Next week, you might blow it up and kill it. But this week, we ran the ball, and we had some cool Cam Newton design runs, and you just didn't have many opportunities.
Yeah.
That's where I think it's dicey. Other thing I'll say, too, is just like, I have a hard time thinking Bill New England would trade a number one pick for Julio. I do.
They're saying now that they would maybe take a number two if you eat the contract.
Right.
But I don't know that they have that much money left over, do they?
Yeah, they have. I think they're still in decent money. But I think there's teams interested. I think everybody's still trying to figure out how to go about this trade exactly and all of those type of things.
Pete notes that previously they did trade a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu.
I know. But, see, that was just the perfect storm, right, where they were like, whoa, that was Brady's last year in New England. If you remember, I believe they were 9-0 at that time. But we were talking about, is this the greatest defense since the 85 Bears? Do you remember that, right?
Yeah.
It was that whole thing. The offense can't do anything. They're the best team in football. And there was like 4 teams that were looking for a receiver. The 49ers were one of them. There was a few other teams. So they got the perfect like Atlanta bidding war of teams being in a desperate situation for that type of player. Yeah, the trade sucked. I mean, it was horrible if you look at it. But that's what happened. Right now, that's what we don't have with Julio. Like, maybe the Atlanta can get a first rounder if they can get a lot of teams back into the conversation of bidding for him.
Right.
But I think if it's one or just 2 teams, I do think ultimately it'd be a second rounder. How much does Julio value just winning and being like on that type of team?
Yeah.
Right. And is he going to ask for another contract? Because that to me, like, no way he's going to New England. If New England hears that like he wants a new contract in 2 years, no way the Bill's going to be like, oh, yeah, I want to deal with that and trade you a pick.
One more question. CJ Easterday back on the show.
What up, Easterday?
He goes, what's up, Simsy? One question. How do you always end up with sweaty co-hosts? First it was Lefko. Now it's Ahmed. What's going on?
I have that effect, you know? I don't know what it is, but he's looking good today. But
no,
I mean, Ahmed,
no, I got something.
You got something?
Yeah.
And what are you
right
wearing? Four t-shirts underneath there? Left arm's bad too.
I was going to say left arm's good, but left arm's bad.
You can't really tell in that color. You shouldn't have said. I couldn't tell. Lift your arms up again now.
Kristen, edit that out.
Right.
No.
It is Fernando Tatis hoodie over here.
This is my own private thing.
His Padres hoodie he's got on.
If I'm sweating or not.
But, you know, Easterday, some of us are cool under pressure and some of us are not.
No,
I am and he's not.
Whoever has to keep the train on the tracks with Chris, it's a lot of work.
that's very true.
A lot of pressure.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yeah. I mean, you should see Pete back home. I mean, he is just like is covered in sweat. It's like he's been in a sauna.
Yeah, seriously. It's dripping out of everywhere with Pete. he's got it going down his legs. He's got it everywhere.
That will never stop for any of us here working with you. All right, so that wraps up the Q&A part. And now we got to get to maybe the most important part of the podcast.
The most important.
The continuation of the quarterback coach Royal Rumble countdown. So what we did before, and I think Pete has them here if you're watching on YouTube, here's my rankings. He's attached my name to them so that Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow know who to attack next time they see me, as I have them ranked as the most likely to get beat up by every other quarterback and coach combo in the NFL.
I think they could take Bridgewater and Fangio. That's where I'll go differ.
Yeah, what was the one you were saying that you had a beef
with?
Probably all of them.
I'm not. Nagy seems like he'd be a pretty tough guy.
Nagy does seem tough. Dalton, though, I think he's a liability.
So that's where
that one.
I hear you. I guess, I don't know.
All right.
So you're right. I guess I don't really have an issue with it, actually. Now that I just look at it, I think Teddy Bridgewater and Vic Fangio should have been last.
Probably.
And Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor should have been 30.
Maybe when I look back at it.
Either way.
Okay, so the next eight are happy they're not in that eight, right? They're not in the bottom. But here's the thing. They're still in the bottom half.
I love this.
In the bottom half, these next eight.
Right.
So they're still more likely to lose
and
than
still
win.
Want to kick your ass at some point.
Right. Number 24 for me here on the list, the Seattle Seahawks duo of Russell Wilson and 70-year-old Pete Carroll. Turned 70 in September.
Yeah.
So Pete Carroll's now 69. I think they are 24th right here.
I can't argue that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Russell would be a handful. You know, he's athletic. He's stout.
Small.
Know.
It'd be hard to get him down, right? It'd be hard to defeat him.
He's got some real power. Like, he's got thick legs. He's got thick shoulders and back. I mean, he's strong. But, Pete's the oldest coach in football. So
he's a liability.
Pete's a liability,
and you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Right.
Which means that the age gives the edge to their NFC West rival. At 23, I got Jimmy Garoppolo and your good buddy, Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, man. Shanahan's in third? You put him in third in the NFC West, huh? I like it. I like it.
That's true.
That's it. Yes, you did.
23rd. No, he's in because he's ahead of Pete. Oh, yeah, you're right.
He's third in the West, right?
You
still got Kyler and Cliff McVay and Stafford to come.
He is third. 23rd overall, third in the West.
Okay. Right. All right.
They got youth on their side.
They do got youth.
Jimmy G's got a lot to protect up
and
above the neck.
And he's got an injury history.
He's got an injury history.
Right. You know, he could get in that ring in a Royal Rumble fashion and be down, and it's just Kyle by himself.
Have you ever seen Kyle fight?
No, but Kyle's not afraid.
Yeah.
I'll say that much. I really will. Here's a funny story with Kyle, all right? I don't think this will get him in trouble or anything like that.
Uh-oh.
No, this won't.
Probably
This is college.
Okay.
But he was always great at defending me because I always had people like, you Yankee.
Yeah.
You fucking Yankee. Yeah.
To this day, go back to the North. To this day, this happens.
It was a thing with Texas, too, to where I almost got it with it in Twitter, actually, this weekend, because somebody from Texas was like, yeah, I don't know why people judge them so harshly here down here. And I want to go, well, maybe it was that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was that aspect.
True.
Or people reminding me that I was white because I was wearing Timberland boots.
Yeah.
Like those type of things. But I was out one night. I don't know why. Kyle had like a ton of change in his pocket. And we were walking down the street, and somebody was heckling me and kind of like fake stepped up and like got in our way as we were walking. And I remember he like took out he had like this huge thing of change and just threw it right at the guy's face. And I was like, yes, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what
happened.
And
they just swept that under the rug. We never heard about it until now.
You know, well, yeah.
Oh,
nothing
we did hear
no,
about
well,
it.
No, a few seconds later, I think the guy said something else, and then my friend from New Jersey punched him in the face.
Right.
So that's how that went down. It wasn't usually good for the hecklers when my Jersey friends were there.
Yeah. Well, especially with Kyle Shanahan walking around Austin with a pocket full of quarters.
I don't think that can get him in trouble, so hopefully not.
That's good. All right, so if I would have known that. Well, he has no weapons in this contest.
No weapons.
We will check his
pockets.
Will
the fight? I don't know how good of a fight.
So just ahead of him, number 22, we have the Atlanta Falcons duo of Matt Ryan and Arthur Smith. So Arthur is only 38.
Yeah.
And he was a backup guard at UNC.
Arthur's big.
He's big. 6'4", 283, really?
I was gonna...
Pete, 283 for Arthur Smith? Wow.
He's probably 240 or 50 now.
That was back in
but
his
But he's
college.
A big
okay,
guy.
Yeah.
I've only seen him from a distance at like the combine 2 years ago before the pandemic or anything like that. But right, definitely
so,
a big guy.
So
no
he
doubt.
Could fight. So Matt Ryan's a liability here, I think. I don't think Matt's a fighter, right? Although he's another big guy.
I don't underestimate Matt. Matt's tough, though. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason he's never been hurt his whole damn career.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's got that, like, you know, that Irish. His cousin is Mike McGlinchey. So he's got to have part rockhead, okay?
Yes.
He went to school in Boston, and he grew up in Philadelphia. He can't be the softest guy in the world. I think those two things alone let me say, okay, he might be able to hang in there.
Of all my rankings so far,
that's
this
the one
I'm
you're
now doubting the most. I'm doubting Matt Ryan, Arthur Smith at 22 the most.
Yeah, good. Okay, good.
Just ahead of them, more youth, a guy that didn't make your top 40 quarterback list, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, the new guy who turns 40 years old this year. Height unknown, says Pete, but he's eyeballing photos, says he's about 6'1".
I think so. That's what it looks like to me.
And he's into competition. Remember that? He's talked about rock,
yeah,
paper, scissors.
Right.
And so he'd be into fighting.
Well, you might be lowballing these two right here.
You think they could be higher as well?
Maybe. I'm not going to like argue too much with the other ones.
Yeah.
I mean, the Atlanta one was interesting that we just talked about. This one, too, just because like Hurts is different than your normal quarterback.
Yeah.
He is.
How big is he? He doesn't seem that big.
No,
but
I'm going to say he's like 6'1 or 2, yeah, right around 220, but more of like, not the quarterback that's built 6'2", 220, but
yeah,
more of the running back type that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that's what you got. That's
is what
it
that
looks
what he
like.
Is?
6'1", 6'2", 222, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's got some legs on him for sure when I saw him in person. So,
right,
well, we'll see how this shakes out.
All right.
Just like I do in my rankings.
Where you have 15.
We go back and we go, what was the one you didn't like?
Yeah.
We're definitely going to do that with you at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to just say at the end of it, there are 30 top 10 quarterback coach Royal Rumble countdown. So number 20, 21 is Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. Number 20, Sam Darnold. Darnold and Matt Rhule, who is also a former college football player.
Yeah.
Linebacker at Penn State. He's not that big, but I think he's tough and scrappy. And I think Sam is solid, too. I mean, you're talking about
is.
A solid body.
Oh.
Sam Darnold.
Sam's solid. Sam's got a big, square, cinder block head. All right? He could definitely take a punch, for sure. Not going to be phased. Rhule's got some attitude about him.
100% attitude.
For sure. So I'm with you there. I could see them being, you know, scrappy.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Doesn't Sam look like an Irish bar brawler?
It seems like he's been to
right.
Dublin.
Right.
And he's been in some fights already
right.
in his life.
Right.
So they're 20th on my list. yeah. He's 20th on our list. Just ahead of him. They got to be super
I love this.
Scrappy.
He's questioning his own list now. I love this.
When you reveal the list, you're supposed to be certain.
When you talk it out loud, you start to go, wait, this doesn't sound right.
No, this one does sound right, though, because I think these two are very scrappy, even though they might not be the biggest.
This is 20 or 19?
This is 19. Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. Now, Cliff is big, 6'3".
He's just almost as tall as me.
Turns 42 in August.
Yeah.
And he stays
in shape.
He stays in shape, of course, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
you got to keep that whole look
he's
together.
Ryan Gosling
and Kyler, while small, I mean, talk about quick and speedy and be able to
Mighty
manipulate.
Mouse.
Yeah, Mighty Mouse.
Right. I don't have any problems with this.
Yeah.
I think they could do some damage. I definitely do. Yeah, Cliff is Cliff's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a scrapper himself, and yeah, I would say Cliff's 6'4", sneaky more muscular than people realize. He is in shape still, and Kyler, people like Kyler, listen. There's a reason he can run 4.2 and things like that. Why? Because he has really powerful, explosive muscles.
Yes.
He'd be the kind of guy where I'd go, I don't want – yes, you wouldn't want it. He'd be a pain in the butt.
And who knows? Like, when he does a punch, he is a former baseball player with a swing. He's probably got good side oblique areas. And
His power is real in every facet.
I think – yeah, I'm feeling better about this.
Right. Plus, you're
right
also like,
that.
Can I hit this guy? He's quick and moving around.
That's
you know,
true.
You
couldn't get a clean
it.
Punch in
right,
on
right.
him. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So they're 19th, and I feel very confident about that one.
Good.
I'm going to reveal two more. 18 is interesting, and on paper, you might think they should be lower, but I think they would be a deadly combination, or at least mid-pack in the NFL. At 18, the Dallas Cowboy duo of Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy, who did play football as well in college,
wow,
a tight
wow.
end at Scottsdale Community College in Baker University.
I feel like this has got to be too low.
Oh, you think they should be higher on the list?
Man, Dak Prescott's got to be one of the all-ass kickers at quarterback.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy's a big dude, dude.
Offensively, though, as a fighter, I think he'd struggle, right? He'd be in the Andy Reid category, though, of it'd be tough to take him down. And what I think they could do is they could say, all right, Dak, Mike McCarthy, I'm going to take on both these guys. They're going to try to beat me into submission. It's not going to work. They're going to wear me down.
Right.
They're not going to defeat me.
Yeah.
And then, Dak, you come up and clean up the scraps.
That might have to work, yeah. I mean, McCarthy, it's he's thick. Like, I want to say, is like 6'3".
Yeah, 6'3". That's what Pete notes right here.
I mean, 6'3", and of course he's a little overweight, as we know. So he's above 300 pounds.
He's above 300. Yeah, we'll just.
So
be nice.
I don't know what his movement is.
But he doesn't need it, right?
No.
Just be there, be the sponge,
right?
Take all the abuse,
a little bit of the sumo guy,
tire him out,
right? And then let Dak come in and throw
Dak
the haymakers and knock you
correct.
Out, right? So he does the rope-a-dope part,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Dak comes in and throws the knockout punches. I like that.
All right,
you might be low on that one. I'm not sure about that.
I'm not quite sure of the strategy I was thinking here with 17, but I'm going to defend it.
He already knows 17 can't beat up 18.
You
he already knows.
You talked me back into 19 with Kyler and Cliff.
Yeah.
You talked me back into that one. 17, this could be a surprise, the Minnesota Vikings duo of Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer. Now, here's where I'm going with Mike Zimmer. So Mike Zimmer, you look at Mike Zimmer. He is not a guy who's going to lose a fight, right? So if he's about to go down, something illegal is about to happen. Like, Mike Zimmer is going to figure out a way to illegally win this fight.
How dare you?
And so I have him 17th on the list, who, by the way, he turned 65 on Saturday. So happy birthday, Mike Zimmer. You think I'm way too high on
that. That's your dumbest fucking ranking yet. Yes, I don't think they take either one of the last two guys you talked about, the little groups. Dak or McCarthy or Kingsbury and Murray, they both whoop them.
But
Zimmer's tough as hell.
Mike Zimmer's tough.
Tough as hell. He'll beat the crap out of Florio. I know that for sure. Did I ever tell you that story?
No, they fought.
Florio said something about him once, right? Uh-huh. I know it kind of pissed Zimmer off or whatever. So we had Zimmer on the show, and I said, hey, you want me to get him for you? You want me to take him down?
Yeah.
And he goes, I can handle him myself. I love it. It was awesome.
I think Zimmer would know, like, you know those things where you put...
Like pressure points?
Yeah, pressure points.
Right, right.
Mike Zimmer knows
pressure
points.
He'd, like, touch you on your trap, and you'd be like, ah, and you go
down
to your knees.
Right.
He might. Yes. He might be that kind of guy. Like, Zimmer in his prime, I wouldn't mess with Zimmer. I'm with you in everything you're talking about. Tough as hell, run through a wall, probably could get punched in the face and laugh and, like, punch you back. Right. 65-year-old Zimmer, I don't know if I'm going to get behind
that. High school wrestler, Pete knows.
Right, yeah.
He 50 years ago, he could break an arm if you get in a compromising position.
Right.
It's all right. I'm gonna
say uncle.
I stand by my ranking of 17. All right, we'll get into the next day. We'll get into the upper half next time I'm with you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Gold for the United States!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Before we go,
let's
do a couple snap counts.
Okay.
From the homies.
Yeah.
Kristen, you ready with this? We'll start with Coach Bilgren on Twitter. Sent not only a snap count, but the huddle, up to the line, everything. So, Kristen, if we can take a listen.
Okay, guys, here we go. Huddle up, huddle up. Near right. Spider 2, Y banana. On 2, on 2. Ready? All right, here we go. Line up. Get set, get set. 52 is the mic. 52 is the mic. Check, open, open. Green, 86. Green, 86. Set, hot!
Oh, okay.
Who was that? Who was that?
Coach
Billgren. I like that. Is it like a play on Holmgren, or is it really his name?
It might be his name. I think.
But either way, really well done. I like all the theatrics beforehand. That was really good. I will say, near right, spider 2 wide banana is not going to work because the fullback would be on the weak side in that formation.
No.
So that'd be a little tough there. So, but that's all right.
That's what I tweeted back to him. I was like, you're putting yourself out there. Because it could be like one of those movie situations where you go, that's not real life. No one would ever say
it's
that.
It's a weak side. Near's a different one. So it could work that out, actually, near.
Coach Billgren's going to draw up the play and tweet it at us, probably.
Yeah, he'd have to. Yeah, they could switch roles. It could work, actually. Okay. It could work. It's all not right. The worst. I've never had that play called out of that formation, I will say that. but I love that he did that, got him up to the huddle, did all that. Just let the snap count breathe a little bit.
He rushed
too
the
quick.
Snap count.
You don't need to be quick. I mean, I understand if it's like we're getting down on the play clock, but. You know, booty 5, assess the defense, let them move around. You know, that dumb safety, he might get antsy after that first one, start showing you what he might want to do, right? I just can't help it. I'm blitzing and I can't disguise it anymore. That will be my only critique there. But either than that,
right,
I don't know
10.
What his open was, his whole thing there when he said that. It was good, though.
It's a decoy. It means nothing.
Yeah, it was a dummy. Out.
So what do you give him? 1 through 10.
I'm going to give that a 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah?
Rush
good
through
that.
It. Yeah.
Rush through it.
Yeah.
Loved all the other aspect of it and the near
could
right.
Could have been a little louder. Like, you get the idea. Like, we had one last week, right, where it was like, you can tell he's at work, and he later did admit he was at work.
Yes.
You got to let it go.
Yeah.
You got to let it go.
You got to let it go. You know, I didn't like to let it go when John Gruden would embarrass me, you know, in front of the team or in a meeting. You just got to let it go. You know, let it go.
Alex Sim is from Scotland, lives in England now, has become a listener to the pod, has learned all about football from everything you have told him, and now has his own snap count. It's Blue 23, Kristen.
Blue 23! Blue 23, set hot!
Oh!
That was
clean.
Pretty solid.
Solid in the car,
yes.
So you can let it rip.
He let it rip. I don't have many complaints about that right there. You know, maybe a hair more of a blue 23 just for a second, pause, and then do it. But it was a pretty good, consistent, like, sound and rhythm
was
there.
Was it almost too measured? That's my complaint with people from across the pond. They're all always put together.
Yeah. No,
always, it's like, hello, top of the morning to you.
Right,
it's
like
very
right.
bad.
How dare you sound
that was
so proper.
Irish, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Proper.
Right.
It's
proper.
Like you've got your life together where us Americans were.
I think that was pretty good.
Scattered.
The set hut was pretty strong.
Okay. What do you think?
I think it's a niner.
Wow, a niner.
I think it's a niner.
Alex Sim, congratulations.
Way to go,
niner.
Alex Sim. S-I-M?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah.
I wonder if we're related. Somebody just chopped.
Once
they
came over here and they were like,
I'm
give him another
I'm not sure how I spell this damn name.
Give him an S on there, too. I think that'll work. We got two more from the same guy. We got Chandler from Outside the Pylons. That might be a podcast. I don't know what that is. That's his Twitter name. He has his own call here. We'll start with Black 80.
Go, Black 80. Black 80. Set hut.
Ooh, he sent video, which we do appreciate, right? If you're willing to put yourself out there with your voice, that's amazing.
Hey.
If you're willing to do it with video as well, we applaud that. Well done. So he did it with video.
Yeah.
In his car.
Awesome. Like, really awesome. Love that you did the video. Okay, a few things. First off, he added his go to the start there?
Yeah, there's a little go improvised.
Which sometimes can be. Some teams will do that. Like my dad, for instance, in his day, they would go, blue go. Blue 85, because it gave you another thing to go, wait, the defense has got to get ready.
Right.
Right? Oh, they could go on blue go. So they could do that. They got to get ready. Got to do that. Really. And what supplanted that is now the Omaha. That's really what happened. That's where it became more of an on the fly, and they trained people that way. But blue go at the start used to be a real thing for some teams or how they do it. He just said go, right?
I think he just said go.
He said go. You know, I didn't. The number, color number thing was pretty good.
Black 80.
The black 80. Yeah, that's. I'm okay with that. It sounded good. the pauses with the set hut and all of that. That's where...
Got to go after the last Black 80 set hut. You got to get into it.
Yeah, you got to get into it there. Black 85. Black 85 set hut. Right?
Yeah.
So that's how he goes. That sounded good?
It felt good. That's like a professional. Okay, that's like watching a professional work.
That felt good right there. That did. That just rolled off. So,
Well, what number? What number are you going to give him? Maybe lower because the go threw things off a little bit.
Hey, it's okay. He can come back and we can get a better grade. I'm going to give him a 5.5 right now.
Okay, 5.5 right now. But he did another one.
Oh.
And he tried to save Red 4. So here is Chandler from outside the pylons trying to figure out if Red 4 is possible.
Red 4! Red 4! Say hut! Who called this? It didn't work.
Yeah, the play is not
I
a
like
play.
It, Chandler. Way to go. Way to go. Yeah. Who called that? Idiot Ahmed Fareed called it. That's what.
Yeah, did you hear him, though, when he did Red 4? Southern accent. It's impossible to do Red 4 without a Southern accent.
You might be right. You there might be something it. To it, because even when I do it, it does sound almost Southern. All right? It does. Yeah. So, that's pretty low. Pretty low right there.
Because it's Red 4. You can't make Red 4 good.
Red 4. And to our man Chandler, offensive linemen are antsy like that way. So Red 4, that long of a pause before we say set hut, offensive linemen are going to jump off sides for sure. So you're going to have that one nervous offensive lineman that's like, oh, gosh, Aaron Donald's over me. Yeah. What's taking so long? Where's the set hut? And then they jump off sides. And you go, oh, fucking A.
Yeah.
What the fuck? We set on one. What the fuck are you doing? That's how I would say it. Like, what are you doing?
All right, Kristen, right at the end, we got three right there. Time code them out. And
boom.
That is it. So we'll give Chandler a one for the last one.
So you got a 5.5 and a one.
And a one.
Because
Red 4, which might be the highest score you can get for Red 4.
But a 10 for putting himself on camera twice 100%. And making two videos. And really... an 11 for making fun of you. That's what Red 4 was.
Yeah.
And that's where Chandler, keep him coming, dude.
I do a good job of that myself.
Yeah. I love how you literally did like Red 4 and was like, this doesn't even seem right. Like, his
like
shoulders
he was deflated.
Went down.
He was like, deflated. Yeah. The whole team was deflated. It was like, not this again.
Yeah.
All right. Keep those coming.
Yeah, please
that
do.
That was fun.
Well, I think we could grow on that and keep getting it better and better.
And that wraps up our first ever pod with these microphones.
Yes.
Period. That was it.
You're a diva. You ask for the microphones, they come. Chris has been asking for 3 years. We don't get them. I don't know. That just tells me guy hosts the Kentucky Derby, and now he gets whatever the fuck he wants. Okay?
We're going to wrap up, but I'm just going to sit here, Kristen, if you can keep the mics on. I just want to hear how my bass sounds at the okay. All right, that's it.
You good? All right, you're good. All right, we'll see you. Not Wednesday. We're going to see you Thursday. All right, we got Thursday podcast. I believe Paulie Burmeister's back in the fold Thursday. You go out to Belmont this weekend?
I got Belmont.
All right, kid, let's go. Giddy up.
Let's
All right,
giddy up.
Let's go.
No Triple Crown winner, but that's okay.
Check out Ahmed. Someone said you're wrong. Check Ahmed out on NBC on Saturday afternoon. Peace out, everybody. We'll see you Thursday. Thanks for everything. Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.